April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app has you covered. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. Elliot Shore Parks somehow covered in caramel.
Dude, it's unbelievable. I don't know how this happened. Like, so there's these snacks that are out in the lobby here, and it's like, this is ironic. There's coffee. So like I eat it because it feels like it gives me a boost. And so it's kind of like a 5-hour energy thing, but it's in the shape of a piece of chocolate with caramel in the middle. Uh-huh. And I took a bite and the caramel like dripped out and it got on my beard, my like not very big beard. I put my hand in it to try to get it out. And so now it's on my hands and it's just, it's not great. It's
but
just,
you know what? You're a warrior.
I am. You know, I mean, again, these
don't
are the
let
days.
It slow you down.
This is why I went to college. You know, like this is why they prepare. This is what they prepare you for.
I remember the college class on having caramel on you, but having things to do and getting through it.
Yes, I watched the most insane reality show on the face of the planet.
Ooh.
Should I save it for the end or now?
It's up to you. Probably save it for the end.
Yeah, I'll save
it for
the end.
More fun that way.
It's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
Coming from you.
And I've already watched 7 episodes
of it. You're
like
Mr. Reality.
Oh, I love it. I'm just saying the premise of it is insane.
I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
Sounds amazing. I love a good insane premise.
Isn't it crazy the draft's in 16 days?
It's unbelievable. Like
it feels
like
it's
like that. Well, it felt like because it was this monolithic thing with that now 2 picks, but 3 picks.
Right.
Such a big deal. And then it felt like it was never going to happen. And now it's here. It's like creeping up on us.
Well,
dude.
And also, like, I remember when the season was ending, it was kind of like, well, we'll see what they do in the playoffs, but ultimately the draft's going to be so interesting. And, like, it is. But I kind of feel like there hasn't really. What makes the draft fun to me is when everybody wants a player, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's like Justin Jefferson, good example, especially for
you. Had to go for
I remember, like, Dalvin Cook was
cool,
a big
buddy.
One.
Good one. Thanks for reminding everyone about that. That's
when CeeDee Lamb started to draft.
Call the Eagles about Jalen Reagor. Okay, sure. I bet.
I'm not. Look, I believe the
has
report
there ever been
and everything,
a more
but
Eagles
like.
Leak? Well, yeah, but it's clear. Like, has there ever been a more Eagles leak in the history of leaks? Like, oh, teams are calling us about Reagor. If you want him, you better get in now. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Well, it's like, what's the trade for Reagor? Like what do you think if the team called?
I don't think you get a conditional 7th for Reagor.
I disagree. I think you could probably
I think you have to trade away a pick. It's like a Al Horford trade. You got to trade away a pick to get rid of Reagor. I mean, come on. Who wants this guy?
This is a bit of a side note, but I think I said this on the show, and I don't know if it came across clearly, but I think it's an interesting question. So Ruben Frank of Eagles legend beat writer.
of Eagles legend.
Of just the GOAT. But he always says this, how like when players from other teams come here fans are much more willing to forgive their flaws than they are for guys that they've seen
sure.
already. So imagine a world where Rager was on the trading block, right? Like, he had, let's say he played for, I don't know, like the Oakland Raiders for 2 years or something like that. And there was, he was available. Don't you think there'd be some fans who would be like, yeah, take a flyer on
dude,
him. He was a former first-round pick.
Fans were excited about Dorial Green-Beckham, of course.
Yes, exactly.
Of course.
So yeah. To your point, I do think you probably get, like, I bet if they trade Rager, it's a trade where the reaction is, wow, I can't believe they got that for him. Like, I bet there's other...
Oh, I don't think so.
I think you get, like, a fifth.
I think if a fan were trading for Rager, maybe, but I think teams watch Jalen Rager play. And before they're going to trade for the guy, they're going to look at his tape and be like, oh, this guy gives you nothing.
But
like,
also
zero.
Coaches are very
this
confident.
This guy should not be in the NFL. He should be in the NFL. He was, the problem, too, is that while he was taking the first round, he was not a first-round talent. You know, every single, you know, there were very few people.
Right, he was top of the second, end of the first.
Yeah, and even then, he was middle second. I mean, some people had him, Ray Dinger had him as a third-round player. You know, like, so I do think that, you know, it's not one of those things where it was like a stone cold first round talent and people look at like, oh, he's all the talent. Like, I think Rager was just a disastrous pick and he looks like a disaster and I think his career's over. I think he's never going to do anything in the NFL.
I think the chances are slim. Like 15%.
Yeah. Whoa. No, like,
well, I mean,
1.5%.
Like, we have seen players improve.
1.5%.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather keep Rager?
No. The answer is no.
So if someone offered you a 7th-round pick, you would take him?
I would trade him for free. I'd cut him.
See, I would.
I would cut him. I would cut him. I would not bring him to camp. I'd cut him right now. I'd be done with him.
So I think...
He's a symbol of all that's wrong.
I don't even disagree with that, and I think, like, bringing him back, I'm the one that said this. Like, I just don't think they will.
I want them to.
I don't think there's... And to a certain degree, there's no harm in bringing him into camp and just seeing. Like, if it's a 7th-round pick,
I get it. I know. And there's a cap hit and all. I get it. I know that this is not logical. I can't stand him. I never want to see him in an Eagles uniform again. So, yeah, cut him.
And for his own well-being, I hope he is traded.
Yeah, well.
Like, I think he... But to where were we? I was going down... I was saying something else.
The draft.
Excited
about the draft.
16 days.
Yes.
Pretty crazy.
That it's more exciting when people want one player.
Oh, yeah. I feel like... I guess Jameson Williams is maybe turning into that guy. Are you there with him?
I've been there. I love Jameson.
Would you take him at 15?
Sure, but I think you can get him at 18.
I can't tell because so many people say he's the best receiver in the draft, if not for his injury.
I think he is the best receiver
in
the draft.
And his injury is going to be like, I mean,
No big deal.
He tore it in January. Yeah. Like, it's a 9-month injury. He'll be ready by week 1.
It's pretty wild
probably.
The ACL tears. You remember when we were growing up, like, you know.
Well, when you grew up, did they even know what the ACL is?
Exactly. I mean, they just taped it together. And
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, it is wild. Like, this injury is like, oh, no big deal.
Could you imagine?
Another thing.
If you tore your ACL, how long you would talk about it?
Oh, my God.
Years.
The rest of my life.
I don't think I'd ever work out again.
It would be my excuse for everything.
Yeah.
10 years down the road, I would, like, not walk quickly or something somewhere. I'd be like, guys, I tore my ACL.
Dude.
Like, come on.
Like,
give me a break.
Last week, I must have slept funny in my bed, and my side was really sore. And I didn't work out for 3 days. I was like, no, Elliot, you don't want to push it. If I had a torn ACL, you would never be able to get me be a productive athlete again.
Yeah, well, athlete. You can see his face, but everyone out there, just trust me, it was perfect. It was a very good song.
It's like the golf thing. People are, I was wondering what people were tweeting
about.
Did people
get mad about the golf thing?
Yeah, this one guy. So for those that don't know, I tweeted that golfers should be allowed to ride in carts.
People were not happy.
And someone tweeted me back, so this dead serious, he tweeted me back, you could never walk the Augusta course. Come on, bro. I'm walking back and forth to the studio today. That's almost 3 miles.
You could make it. You would fall down and
I mean, carrying the
car,
carrying the bag would suck, but they don't carry their own bag.
Yeah, and again, like, we're not talking about running a marathon.
Yeah,
here.
Walk.
And Masters.
This one person said, like, well, there's, like, hills and elevation. I'm like,
oh, really?
I've seen the course. Like, the hills are not,
and
like,
it's like, what are we talking about
here?
Yeah,
what's the degree angle on the hill? Like, I don't know,
I'm in my
20%.
30s. I'm like,
yeah,
in shape.
I never tore my ACL.
I think I'll be okay here.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
But is there, like, one player that you think that you, like, you really want? I feel like you're normally, oh, I guess N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, I'm not going to get him. So
I don't know.
Ooh,
I mean,
yes, he's my top dude.
If he's there at 18, I think they could take him.
Really? Really, really? Like, is this just, it could happen? Or do you really think there's real belief, like, reasoning?
I mean, I think they will take the best player on their board at 18.
Really?
I think at 15 is where they're going to hope it's a pass rusher. I think at 18, they will take the best player on their board.
It's interesting. All right, so we're going to have a little fun with the 15-18 pick in a little bit. We'll get to that. We're going to mess around.
Some say a lot of fun.
I would say all the fun.
Yes,
personally,
lots of fun.
For me, it's going to be all the fun. But a couple other things to get into quickly. We talked a little bit on the Saturday show about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. We'll just say Honey Badger so neither of us messes up his name.
Well, let's just agree. Tyrann Mathieu.
Sure. We're, yeah.
Agreement.
We're done?
That's how we're saying it.
Mathieu.
Okay.
I'm just going to call him Matt. Can I call him Matt?
Is it definitely Tyrann? Tyrann?
This is what we're here.
All right, Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger. Got into it a little bit. I think, you know, we both, even me, who's, you know, kind of less in on this year in terms of, like, from a resources standpoint, I think we both would be fine with it considering the money and the years. Like, as long as that's, you know, in range, I think it's a good, smart signing for this team right now. How real is it, though? Because, you know, it seems like it's one of those things where every Twitter sleuth out there is, Eagles are in deep with me.
And he liked
and I've
tweet,
literally never heard of any of the people who are saying it, and they're quote tweeting people who are like, I didn't say that. Like, all kinds of stuff like that. So it's a earmuffs, 1, 2, 3. It's a shit show out there. So break down the shit show for us. How real is this, the potential that the Eagles might actually come away from this free agency with a player that everyone's excited about?
So I definitely think it's real because it's late in free agency. There's not as many teams out there bidding for him. I don't think he's going to get a big money deal, which helps the Eagles. And they're definitely interested. They met with him. They did a virtual meeting. They've been in on him the whole time. Like, I don't think this is like his market didn't develop, so they weren't in on him. Like, they tried to pay Marcus Williams. They had some interest in Justin Reed. Like, they have been in on a safety. So I do think they like him. They like his versatility. I actually think his personality is a big, like, thing for them. If you look at what he would bring as, like, a leader to that defense, I think the defense is somewhat devoid of leadership. Like, Brandon Graham, great guy, like, strong leader. But I don't think he's, like, Tyrann Mathieu would, like, bring an edge to the defense. I don't think they have right now. You're not getting it from linebacker. You're not getting it from any of the
You're not going to get an edge from Hassan Ridgeway. You see what I'm saying there? Hassan Reddick.
You messed
edge
up.
Edge rusher. See what I did?
Darius Slay is like
I'm so sorry to everyone that was, like, 10 seconds of their life. They'll never get back.
Good thing we don't cut.
Yeah. I know.
Or edit, I should say. Yeah. Like, Darius Slay, I think, is a leader, and I think he helps develop players. But he's an outside corner that, like, let's be honest, is like a bit of like a silly personality.
Yeah,
like, I don't think he
corners
brings...
have like the bit of a diva thing.
Yeah, he's on the outside. So it's just like different. So I think that they really like that part of him, but also the versatility part of it. I do think they need a player like him. Like, everyone likes to rip on Jonathan Gannon, but, like, he had no versatility from his safeties last year, and it impacted how he had to play him. He had slow safeties that could only do a certain number, like, that could only really do the specific things they were asked. Like, Mathieu, you could move all around. You could put him at slot. You could put him in, like, a box, like, Malcolm Jenkins type role. You could have him play deep safety. I don't know if he's still, like, he's still fast enough to do it. I don't think he has, like, elite level speed in terms of sideline to sideline, but he's still quick enough if you want to play him back. You could do that. So I think it'd be huge for him if they can get him. I mean, huge might be a bit of an overstatement, but I think he would be like, I mean, he's obviously their best safety. He would be one of the top five players on their defense. And I think that, like, if I were him, I would pick the Saints over the Eagles. But
why?
Well, because he's from New Orleans. He
Forget
played
that,
at LSU.
Just like football.
But I think that matters. But I'm saying that's my reason. My reason is if I was an NFL free agent and take my life personally, grew up in Philly, went to Temple. If, like, Hassan Reddick, perfect example. Like, if you have that opportunity to go back home, like, you only get so many chances to do that, you know? Like, and so for him to come and play for the Saints when he's still good, he went to LSU, he grew up in New Orleans, he was born in New Orleans, like, I think it's a special opportunity that if all money is relatively equal, I think he'll pick the Saints. So I think the Eagles will probably have to overpay to get him, but I think there's a very real chance. Like, I think it's either the Saints, the Eagles, and, like, of course, the Rams, because who knows? But ultimately, I think it's one of those two teams.
So what does overpay to get him mean? I mean, obviously, we don't know exactly what type of contract thing. You can infer certain things. You know, he's still out there. No one signed him. It seems like there are only a couple teams really in and on him, you know? So I don't think the market for him is as big as he or other people thought it was going to be. But, you know, if you had to guess, you know, just your knowledge.
It's a tough
of,
question. I mean, it depends what he wants, too. Like, does... Like, and from what do the Eagles want? Like, do they want to own his rights for 2 years, right? Like, if you're bringing him in here and he's going to be really good, like, now the Eagles have shown they're willing to do one-year deals where guys can take bets on themselves. They did it with a lot of guys last year. Nelson, Anthony Harris, Eric Wilson, like, a lot of one-year deals type of guys. So I think, like, if it's 1 year, the number to me that if they signed him to, like, a one-year deal that's actually, like, 4 years so the cap hit stretched out, like, I think $8 or $9 million to me seems fair. Like, I think he's above, like, the $3 or $4 million player. I don't think he's a double-digit player. But I think like he would really help this team if they brought him in, and I think that's worth paying for. So I could picture him getting like a 2-year, $14 million deal with 9 of it guaranteed, and like the cap hits are stretched out, so his cap hit's only actually like $3 million. Like that's in my head what I kind of view him as being worth.
Yeah, I mean that seems like an incredibly fair deal, I would think, for the situation, the player, the need. What kind of, because you know, we'll as the season goes on, as the draft happens, as the final moves are made, we'll really hone in on this stuff. But you've been more down on the Eagles as a roster than you were at this time last offseason comparatively and all that. What kind of change would a Tyrann Mathieu move make for you in terms of where you're at with this team?
Well,
like how big a signing is?
You don't want to hear this, but if they sign him, like they're a defensive team and their best chance of making the playoffs is Jonathan Gannon.
Well, shut it down. It's been a fun year.
I mean, look,
let's look ahead to 2024. We got CJ Stroud. What's going on?
If they get him and then they hit, I don't know, you don't have to have like a home run hit, but if they can get someone in the first round that gives them like 4 or 5 sacks and like, you know, pretty good consistent pressure, I think they could be a top 10 defense. And then you look at their schedule, like now, certainly Washington's an interesting debate on like if they're better or not, like the Giants.
They're not.
Okay, I agree with you, but I think like the high of making fun of Carson is kind of worn down a little.
I think I would rather have Taylor Heinicke than Carson.
Yeah, it's strong. I mean, let's be real. Like, that's strong. Carson's capable.
Carson stinks, though. I think he
But he's
stinks.
Also capable of like having like
he makes some
three quarters where like he makes throws that Tyler Heinicke would not.
Yes, I agree. He will make throws that Heinicke will not.
Yeah, so like, but ultimately, they get to play Wentz twice. They get to play Daniel Jones twice. They're playing bad teams this year. And again, like this is our debate we got into a lot. Jonathan Gannon, one thing he is very good at is shutting down really bad quarterbacks. And I know that no one wants to appreciate that, but like he is, and they don't play many good quarterbacks next year. So if you add the Honey Badger, I mean, I think there's a chance this team—
No more excuses for Gannon. That's what it means.
Well, yeah. I don't know about all that, but like— So I think it would be a signing that makes the defense better, and because they're going to need their defense to win, I think it increases their chances of winning. But I still view them like a 7-8, and like I would probably pick 7 before 9, I guess, if I really had to pick.
Wow,
I'm just
so down on the
very
birds.
Concerned about the fact that they've done nothing to help the passing offense.
Yeah, well, you know.
Like I think it's a major concern. Because it was the biggest problem with the team last year. Now, if they draft Jameson Williams, like, it could be. We don't know what he's going to be, but it could be something that really helps them. If they do it, I'm not going to sit here and go up like they're a playoff team. But I think that if he turns in what he could be, now, again, Hurts has to improve. Hurts has to improve.
If Hurts improves, they're going to be better.
Yeah, bottom line. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
So
like,
then why you're the one who said, I think Jalen Hurts is the best option at franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
You're taking this route. So, but how can you be down on the team in terms of their overall production if you are believing in Hurts and expecting him to take a step forward? Won't they just be better because of Hurts?
I think me and you are on the same page with Hurts, which is we have our reservations, but we once were like really high on him. We're probably soured on him a little from what used to be, but I would say we're probably still higher on him than most people.
Agree.
But what I'm saying is like, when I look at the three options for them to get the four options for them to have a franchise quarterback, it's Jalen Hurts, drafting a quarterback this year, drafting a quarterback next year, trading for a quarterback. Like, those are really the only four options. I think Hurts, like the pie-wise, if I were to put, like, a percentage on each, I think Hurts is the best chance they have at finding a franchise quarterback because I don't think they're going to be able to trade for one. I don't think they're going to be able to get high enough in next year's draft to get one. And so, like, this year's draft, we can talk about a little bit in terms of how they're continually doing homework on him, but I don't know if I see, like, someone in the draft, like, you could convince me into guys, but I don't think any of them are such a clear-cut better option than Hurts. So I still think Hurts is their best chance. But, you know, is he going to go from, like, the 15th quarterback to the 7th best quarterback? Like, that's the type of leap I think he has to make for this team to be significantly better.
And
that's even if you have him 15th. Like, that's probably around where I would put him. But
yeah, he's somewhere
you have
in the 15
18th,
to 20
like,
range.
Yeah.
Where he's at. You know, I think for most people, and some might have him after 20, I would assume. Yeah, look, but I think he's going to be better. And I think him being better will make the team better. I mean, it is the same roster, essentially. I know that there are holes in that roster, but it's essentially the same roster.
Yeah.
That just won 9 games. It's the second year with the coaching staff, both sides of the ball. I think that's valuable. It's Hurts' second year as a starter. A lot of guys, you know, Devontae's second year, the big leap from year one to year two. Goddard gets the full season as the tight end.
Yeah, and all that's true.
So I do think that I think there is the chance that they could be better, or at least the same, more or less, in terms of wins or whatever, without Hurts taking a monumental leap, with him just being the 12th best quarterback in the NFL or whatever. I do think it's possible.
It's possible. I just...
Especially with the schedule.
Yeah, the schedule. But, like, I'm just tired of the schedule being the best reason.
Well,
like, I you know, like...
It is what it is,
It'd be easier to look at the team and feel good about them if I was like, well, I know that... I mean, if I had to list what I feel best about with the team, I feel the best about their offensive line and their running game. I feel really good about the defense. I guess I feel
really,
good.
Really good.
Well, their defense was fine last year. So, like...
But it wasn't.
I mean, they had, like, four bad games.
Yeah. Against good quarterbacks.
Yes, against the elite quarterbacks, they struggled. That is very true. That is true for a lot of defenses.
But like, they're not... You can't say, I feel very good about the defense if you know that they...
The defense won't be the reason they don't make the playoffs, I guess is what I should say. They will not make... They will...
I think I feel fine about the defense. It's about as
well,
good
as... Well,
who do
you feel better about, the offense or the defense?
The offense.
Wow, really?
Yes, they still are an elite running team. Like we talked, just because they don't get better passing, like the offense was way better than the defense last year, and I think it's going to be better again.
Well, you think the offense was way better than the defense?
Okay, it was better. The offense was better than the defense.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you take away that Week 17 game, Week 18 game, which we can debate if you want to do that or not, but if you do, they were a top 10.
I don't care about the... Stop with these
stupid stats. But that matters. It matters.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't.
I mean, they
didn't
beat
anybody.
But there were a lot of games last year.
Yeah, anybody can be a top 10 defense against the Jets and the Giants and Washington. Of course.
But you don't do that same thing when you flip it.
For what?
Like, I'm saying, like, there were a lot of games last year where we were watching this team and it was like,
I'm saying,
you know, 17 to 7
great.
In the third.
I'm not saying I'm like, the offense was awesome. I'm saying the offense is better than the defense. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it's marginal. Maybe it's not a ton, but I think the offense is better than the defense. And I feel better about the offense being better again this year because I think Jalen Hurts takes a step forward, and that alone makes the offense better.
All right. I mean, I think an interesting question, I don't know if I know the answer to it, though, is like if you had to trust the offense to get a stop or the defense to get a stop or the offense to score, who would you trust?
Well, I think it's easier to get a stop on defense, but, you know, holistically,
right,
taking the heart of the question, I would trust the offense over the defense.
So I think I would, too. Just because I actually think it's easier to score than it is to get a stop. Just because the I mean, it depends
not,
what you need,
though.
Too. Like, do you need a field goal? Do you need a touchdown? You're right about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just look at the team and, like, unless Hurts is going to take a massive leap forward, they're going to need to win a lot of low-scoring games. A lot of, like, low-score possession, like, time possession, like, you know, field goals instead of touchdowns. Like, that's what I project this team being.
Well, we're going to find out. Still a lot of moves to come. Speaking of those moves, you
great
just mentioned.
Great counter.
Yeah. I'm full of them.
We're going to find out.
You just mentioned, let's talk draft. And specifically with the quarterbacks you're on it, you just mentioned it. They have, and look, official position, I do not want them to draft any of these guys. Like,
definitely that's your position.
I'm out. Like, if they want to take someone in the third or fourth round.
So you've heard of, like.
Third and fourth round as what the idea of the Jalen Hurts pick that they sold to us is we want a young, cheap, cost-controlled backup for the next 4 years who is our backup. Fine with that. Like, totally okay with
that. I have
a
quick Hurts thing that I think, I don't know if anyone made this point at the time, but in retrospect, it should have been very telling. When we talk about, like, what they projected Jalen Hurts to be, the fact that they were willing to take him in the fourth round and not have the fifth-year option, I think is actually somewhat telling.
In the second round, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Taking him in the second round and they didn't like him enough where they felt they needed the fifth-year option. Right. And I think that's telling. Because they are definitely a team that, if they like a quarterback, sees the extreme value of owning that fifth-year option.
Yeah, I think that value is, it's important, but I don't think it's that important in the sense that one way or the other.
Most of them get paid before.
Yeah,
right?
One way or the other, if he's the guy, you're going to pay him one way or the other, no matter what.
But it's a good bargaining chip.
I don't think it's meaningless. I get your point. I'm just saying I don't think it's like a massive thing where if he's the guy, he's the guy, and you're going to pay him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the fact that they were okay only having him on a four-year deal, though, I think backs up their thing of saying we kind of just viewed him as a backup.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fair. All right, what do you make, though? At my official position, like I said, I do not want them to draft one of these guys, but, you know, they keep talking to him. You know, they spent an hour on the phone with Hugh Freeze. They've had Matt Corral in multiple times or whatever. You know, they took Kenny Pickett out to dinner. You know, all the stuff where it's smoke screens. Is it not smoke screens? Are they actually interested? Is this just, you know, due diligence? Or is there real want there on their end? How do you, as someone who's covered the team for a decade or whatever it is, like a long time, you've been around a lot of these
Barbara
drafts.
Walters of the beat.
Yes. This is great. We definitely got to keep this going.
It's a good t-shirt.
I'm Barbara Walters.
Yeah, just a t-shirt of my face and just Barbara Walters of the beat.
Yeah. By the way, and this is a tangent and an aside.
Go for it.
Earmuffs 1, 2, 3. Someone has to make I Hate This Fucking Place t-shirts.
I mean, I know. Yeah.
It is, what a perfect.
Talk about Alex Baum.
Like that is a all-time perfect t-shirt.
Yes, it is.
Just popped in my head as we were saying it, talking about t-shirts. But as someone who's covered the team for a really long time and been around the draft, been around this process, been around them scouting quarterbacks, all that stuff, how do you sift through this? Like, how do you kind of read the tea leaves? Are they actually really interested in quarterbacks this year? Is there a real chance they take one of these guys, or is it more for show, due diligence, whatever?
Back when I was a wee young beat writer, back in my early days.
Yes. Back when you're in the tadpoles of beat reporting. Yes.
When I used to think that they use these visits as smoke screens. Now I don't believe that anymore.
Interesting,
If you're bringing somebody into the NovaCare, you're not wasting one of those 30 spots so that you hope like people tweet about it and you trick somebody. Mm. Is there like, do they think about it? Maybe. But I don't think they bring anybody in that they don't have interest in. Now it could be they're bringing Matt Corral in because like, you know, maybe they like him, or sorry, maybe they like don't like him, but they want to like make sure they don't like him. Or maybe they like want to like just get, you know, one-on-one time with him, or like a physical thing like that. But I don't think there's anybody that they bring in that it's like, we're definitely not drafting him. If you are coming to the NovaCare, there's a chance the Eagles are drafting you, in my opinion. So with Matt Corral, now he's like, his placement of it is interesting. And I think the fifth-year option comes back into this. Like, he'll definitely be on the board at 15, and I think he'll definitely be on the board at 18. I actually think he's going to be the fourth quarterback drafted. I think it'll be
The top two, then Ritter, then him.
Okay. Right? So, but like, if you're the Eagles, he's not going to be there at 51, I don't think. And so if you like him and you want a chance on him, like, what do you do? Do you trade back into the end of the first round? And the reason that's important is because you get the fifth-year option. So if they take him at, like, 45, 40, like, let's say he does fall a little bit, then I think you could say, well, he'll come in here. We'll see how he looks. If he's better than Hurts, great. If not, we took a chance on a quarterback again because we want to take chances. And I think there's stuff to like about Corral. Like, I saw a video of him today where, like, he threw the ball 60 yards in the air without fully stepping into it after evading pressure. Like, I don't think Hurts can do that. Like, I've seen him make throws that I don't believe Hurts can make. So I think he has a better arm than Hurts does. He's not as good of an athlete as Hurts is, but he can definitely run the RPO stuff. He's like, he kind of looks like a mini Marcus Mariota to me. Like, physically, like, he looks like he's that playing type of style. Whereas I think Hurts is definitely, like, stronger, and I think there's not concerns about Hurts getting injured all the time. With Corral, I think there would be those injury concerns. But if they like him enough to take him at 40, then it's like you're kind of taking a bit of a flyer on him. But if they actually really like him, I would not rule out them like going into the bottom of the first round to take him.
Wow.
Like maybe you use that 2024 second and you to 51 in that 2024 second and you move up. But like if they do that, then he becomes like the guy. Like the guy that you think has a legitimate chance of being the quarterback.
Fascinating. I agree with you. I don't like, I'm not saying it's total smokescreen, but I don't think they're going to take a quarterback in the first two rounds. I don't, but I agree that they certainly could. And I do think it's notable that they keep talking to these guys, that it's, you know, there's interest in, and if nothing else, due diligence. Like I think any smart organization who does not have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback should do this stuff, right? Like if you're not sold as an organization on Jalen Hurts, which
right.
All the evidence that we have, all the reading of the tea leaves says that they are at least not sold on him. They might like him. They might, you know, believe in him this year, whatever. But they are not sure that Jalen Hurts. And look, their experience with Carson Wentz tells them they shouldn't be sure with anybody, right?
Anything can happen at any moment.
Very smart.
Yes.
So I think that they're going to do due diligence on quarterbacks no matter what. And I appreciate that about them as a franchise. I think it's the smart thing to do. I just, the way they've handled this offseason, I just don't think that they're that interested in this quarterback class.
I don't disagree with you on that. And now another part of this is like they could call Hugh Freeze, who's Malik Willis's college coach, and talk to him for an hour just so he can get a read on like where they think Malik Willis is going.
Yeah,
because
another good point.
If they know more where Malik Willis is going, then they know, you know, a certain player is going to drop or whatever. And I guess with Corral, it could kind of be the same thing. Like I think the Eagles are very good at information gathering, which is very important. But the smokescreen thing, like, I don't get what the smokescreen is.
Yeah.
Like, everybody believes Eagles are interested in a quarterback. Is there any team out there that goes, looks at 15 and 18 and goes, oh, no, they're not taking a quarterback?
No.
So I don't get what the smokescreen is.
Well, I think the smokescreen, the idea of the smokescreen, at least as I would interpret it, is that you don't want Matt Corral, and Matt Corral is probably a worse example than like Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or whatever, but you don't want those guys, but you want teams who want those guys to trade in front of you, to take those guys to make sure
but
they're
I think
off the board.
Teams already probably think that.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like you're adding to it. You're just making it so like if there's a team, the 14th pick is on the draft and one of those QBs is on the board, one of those QBs is there, you want a team saying, I got to get in front of the Eagles and take this quarterback now so the player the Eagles want at 14 doesn't go to the team that's picking at 14 who's not going to take a quarterback. Like, I think that's right. At least the idea behind
so,
it. Look, ultimately, if the Eagles don't want one of these quarterbacks, they want as many possible to go before their pick, right?
For sure.
They want four quarterbacks to go in the top 15, you know, whatever.
Now, the other part of this is the Eagles don't just, like, call the NFL and go, like, Matt Corral's coming in. The agent has to agree to come in. So, like...
That's an interesting point of this, where the player's not going to do it just to...
Right. If Matt
humor you.
If Matt Corral thinks there's no
that,
chance...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a scheduling thing,
it's
like,
a fascinating
all that
point
stuff.
Too.
And the other interesting part of this is I think it's interesting that Sauce Gardner agreed to come. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that Kayvon Thibodeau agreed to come. Like, these are guys that most people think are going to go in, like, the top 7 or 8. So... A, either, like, they want a safety net that if for whatever reason they fall to 15, like...
And look, we've seen year after year after year after year, just because a mock draft says someone's going in the top 15 doesn't mean that person's going in the top 15.
Yeah, for sure. So I think if the Eagles bring someone in for a visit, there's a realistic chance. If you're doing a mock draft, like, just do it of the guys that they brought in and you'll get more right than wrong.
Speaking of mock drafts. We're going to get there in a second. First, download the all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has... Pennsylvania sports fans covered for betting on all the action you can, and New Jersey as well now. The app is fun. It's easy to use. It's a brand new app. It is so much nicer than the old app. Just super fun. Again, you can find everything really easily. And more than anything, when we're doing this stuff, we're watching all these sports. It's just fun to have some action on it. We got some basketball games tonight. It's technically not the playoffs, but it's, you know, playoff-ish basketball. We'll go.
I've been very confident that that Philly is going to beat Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the odds, like, that's one of the things that has me a little worried. I haven't looked recently, but, like, or actually, I shouldn't haven't looked since we started. But I think, like, Toronto is, like, plus 150,
yeah,
plus 160, something like that. Like, that's a little telling.
It is. I'm the one who's a lot more nervous about this
year
than you are.
We'll talk about
this
on the pod. But.
So either tomorrow or Thursday, whenever the Parks Picks pod comes out, you'll hear our full thoughts on that. We're going to dive into that, dive into all the series, what basketball we watch tonight, what's coming on. But there's so much action to bet on. Of course, baseball's back. You bet on baseball, who's going to home run, who's going to get a strikeout, all that type of fun stuff.
Who's going to come in and air?
You could bet on that. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Tough beat.
Hates this place.
Yeah. Hey.
Bad for him.
I do too.
He's got great hair. Like, it's a real shame.
I feel bad for him. He's got amazing hair.
For someone to have that good of hair and to seem very cool, it's got to suck for him that he's like, I just can't field a ball.
It's a really good
point. Like, I'm so close. I can hit. I look cool.
That is
I was a third overall pick, and I literally can't field a ball.
That is
and
the progression of thoughts, too. It's like, you know, I can play baseball. I got great hair. Yeah. I can't field. This sucks.
Got a cool necklace he wears, chain. Yeah.
Good.
You just can't feel
live in game betting, by the way. Don't forget about it. I always forget about it. I'm watching Toronto.
Did you do it last night?
No. So opening day, I'm watching.
Forget about it.
That's my point. I'm watching Toronto and Texas, and Toronto's down 7-0. And I'm like, Toronto's gonna win this game. They have a great lineup. Like, it feels like it.
Wow, down
Didn't
7.
Didn't even open up the app like an idiot. Like,
wow.
What am I doing?
Think of the shekels you could have made.
Odds or something. Yeah. Awesome. So do the live in game betting. Bet on these games. It's so much fun. And here's the deal. If you sign up now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $750. New customers, $750.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal.
A lot of shekels.
Yeah, it's a lot of shekels. You bet on that and the in-game betting on plus $600. You're
plus with the playoffs coming. Like, I think NBA playoffs, we've talked a lot about how fun it is to bet regular season. The playoffs are more fun because everybody's
elite.
Trying all
it's
the time.
It's elite. Yeah. You don't have to worry about, is they going to show up tonight?
Yeah.
It is great. So that's the deal. Again, new customers get your first bet risk-free up to $750. Just download the app in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pabetparks.com and use our promo code GOBIRDS, that's GOBIRDS, to get your first bet risk-free up to $750. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. That's my impersonation of you after
that
the raid.
That's good. That's what I like. You strong. I like
that's
it.
What you always do. All right.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun.
Do you want me to lead into this?
You got to. I mean, okay. I don't even have the computer in front of me. We're going to do a little mock draft simulation.
Live. These are really fun
tools. So explain to the listener how this works.
All right, so this is the draftnetwork.com. I'll give them a bit of a plug.
Eh, we don't need to plug.
Well, yeah, probably not. But so basically what it does is it runs a simulated mock draft, and then you can pick at like, all right, now there's 14 players off the board, and we're going to pick for the Eagles at 15 and 18.
Wow, this is like so much pressure.
It's basically like we're Howie Roseman and Andy
Weil. I love this. Yeah. Okay, this is great.
I think I would be Howie, by the way.
You're definitely Howie, and I'd be Andy Weidel, for sure.
You're the football guy?
I'm the football guy.
Yeah, it's true.
I just mean personality.
You didn't play the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, Andy Weidel's kind of boring.
That's true. I'm not boring.
Yeah, you're more talkative than him.
That's true. It's a good point. Yeah, Andy Weidel's like very stoic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we ran the draft. I'm going to read to you the order. Maybe this can be a chance to, like, we can give our takes on if we think this happens or not. All right, so number one, Aiden Hutchinson. I think this is definitely happening.
So I do, too. Have you seen, like, the recent buzz?
About what?
Trayvon Walker at number one.
No
so
way.
Just the betting markets are reacting a little bit, apparently. Like, I mean, our old buddy Mike Kay, who knows Jacksonville pretty well, talking about it's real. So.
No way. There is no way they're taking Trayvon Walker.
I don't see
Walker,
it either. I don't see it either, but there is buzz about it.
So, like, I guess the only way I would say is they're the Jaguars, but, like, there's no way they're
it'd
doing
be crazy.
It.
Just trade back two picks.
It'd be insane.
Let someone else go get Aiden Hutchinson.
And I like Trayvon
Me
Walker.
Too.
But like,
Aiden Hutchinson.
Dude, I thought it like he would be there at 15 initially. It's so funny to watch how he's.
Yeah, he's a top five pick now, it seems.
So did you see the Peter Schrager tweet about trading 15, 18 for 3?
No.
So Peter Schrager of NFL.
You know,
this happens all the time. When I'll say this to Chris, and I'm like, so did you hear the story about? I'll
and then be
like,
you say the story.
Right. I'm like, did you see like the picture of Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson? And she goes, no. And then I'm like, well, there was a picture. Like, that's it. That's the story.
It's good. The whole story.
All right. So the rumor, it wasn't even a rumor, but it was like a hypothetical. Would you trade number 15 and 18 for number 3?
I don't think so.
I don't think I would either.
Again, it's all dependent, right? Like, if we get to 15.
Well, let's say Hutchinson's at 3.
Then, I would do it for Hutchinson.
Hutchinson's the only player I'd give up both picks in the first round for, I think.
I agree. I would go up and get Hutchinson. Trayvon Walker would be interesting, though. If he's there at 3, I would consider it for Trayvon Walker.
I don't think I would. I like him, but, like, they do. But, man, you got to be certain.
So, the way that Hutchinson's on the board at 3 is if it goes Walker 1, if for some reason this buzz is real,
right,
or the Jaguars, it's Trent Baalke. So, like, you never know what's going to happen there. I mean, they gave all these guys all these absurd contracts where we're just in there like, what the bleep are they doing? You know, wouldn't be that jogging. And then Malik Willis goes 2.
Well, so, all right, so this is what happens.
Oh,
so,
buddy.
In our mock
Hutchinson
draft
on
right
the
now,
board,
yeah.
The Eagles straight up. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean,
I would
look,
do that in a second.
I would
wouldn't
too.
Even think twice.
I would too. To get Hutchinson, I would as well. All right, so Aiden Hutchinson 1, Malik Willis 2, which I do think is like a real possibility.
Look, I think it's a good thing. I think you want Detroit to take Malik Hutchinson or Malik Willis 2 for a number of reasons, but I think the biggest one being what we were just talking about before is that you want as many teams who you think are going to be horrible this year, who are going to be at the top of the draft next year, to have their quarterback.
Yeah.
If you're hedging your bets.
Well, so. Not, if I'm the Lions, I'm definitely taking Malik Willis. Like, what? I know Jared Goff isn't the answer. Like, what? I'm taking, like, an edge rusher
the
there.
The idea is you're horrible again and you get one of those great quarterbacks next year.
Yeah, but
year.
I'd rather take a chance on Malik Willis and I can just take a chance on a quarterback next year, too.
You would draft quarterbacks in the top 5 back-to-back years?
If I'm the Lions are not going to be relevant until they find a quarterback. They have nothing else going for them.
You're just saying just screw it every
year.
Well,
look what the Cardinals did. They took Rosen.
Yeah,
he didn't work out. And then
I know, but that was a very risque move in the moment.
Well, it worked out, though.
Kind of. I mean, is Kyler that good?
Well, that's a different discussion. Yeah. But I mean, like, they...
Joey Rosen was not.
They are way better
Josh
quarterback.
Rosen, excuse me.
Yeah. All right, so Aiden Hutchinson 1, Malik Willis 2, which I think this is how it's going to play out. Walker at 3 to the Texans.
Okay.
Evan Neal, the tackle, to the Jets, which I think is going to happen.
Sure.
I can never pronounce this guy's name.
The EK. Yeah. The Giants.
Him going to the Giants at
Giants
5.
Giants are taking one of those two guys if they're there.
Agreed. Obviously. They will take a tackle at 5. Thibodeau at 6 to the Panthers. I think this is where you could see Kenny Pickett go. But, I mean, I'm torn on Thibodeau. Cause
me
on one,
too.
On one hand, I'm like, he was the dude going into last year.
Yeah,
like, he was like the guy.
A lot of stuff you don't love when you kind of hear people talk about him. It's like, I don't know.
I saw someone compare him to Josh Rosen's personality, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's, I don't think that's a bad thing. But like.
I like Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I mean, he.
Rosen. Didn't work out.
So Thibodeau's a guy I think they could move up for. Like, if he falls to 9, I could see them moving up.
Sure.
And we don't give up an extra first to do it. I do think actually it'll be pretty easy to move around because, like, for whatever we might. Whatever, like, you know, the reports that he might go number 1. Like, is there that big of a difference between Trayvon Walker and Jermaine Johnson? Like, I like there is, but, like, is there, like, a 12-spot difference?
Right, yeah.
And then all these guys, like, I could see Kyle Hamilton falling into the 10s.
I could see Kyle Hamilton falling, especially after his pro day and stuff.
Right. Yeah. So I think that it'd be pretty easy for the Eagles to move up because I think teams are going to have a lot of guys bunched in there.
Well, that's part of the reason why I'm not, like, and again, for the right guy, I'm down to move up, but that's why I'm also not gung-ho about moving up because I think you get a really, really good players at 15, 18.
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
Like one of those drafts that is really, you know, not super top heavy, just kind of even throughout, but there's a lot of good players through those first couple rounds type of thing.
I agree with that. All right. Thibodeau at 6 to Carolina. Kyle Hamilton at 7 to the Jets. I'm sorry, to the Giants.
I wanted him. Oh, to the Giants.
The Giants,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. I do hate the Giants having two top 10 picks.
He's a guy I think the Eagles would be interested in for obvious reasons, but also he's not a measurable guy, like, and I think the Eagles don't care about that. So I think like they would not be as concerned as other people are about his. I mean, look, they drafted Rager, who had a bad 40 time. So,
but Garrett, he ran fast in the next-gen stats on the field.
Garrett Wilson, number 8 to Atlanta. I'm fine without Garrett Wilson. I'm not a big...
I like Garrett Wilson, but again, I'm fine with him going before the Eagles, too.
Sauce Gardner at 9 to the Seahawks.
Okay.
Derek Stingley at 10 to the Jets. Wow. I do think he goes top 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do. I mean, he tested well. He's healthy. Like, I think the farthest he falls is like 11 or 12.
Wow.
I don't think he's getting to the Eagles. Drake London at 11. I really like Drake London. I would be interested in potentially moving up for him if he was still on the board.
I think those are clearly the top two wide receivers in Wilson and him in terms of the way they're being viewed in the drafts and whatnot.
Yes. I think
Jameson Williams. I would take Jameson Williams. Over
I would
both.
Too. Well, we got let's a few picks, let's say. Andrew Booth, the cornerback out of Clemson at 12 to Minnesota. I really got to learn more about these cornerbacks.
Like, yeah, I know. I know
the
nothing
Trent
about
McDuffie
this guy.
Guy seems
yeah, McDuffie
like they could
too.
Really take him. Yeah. I don't know a ton about him. Charles Cross, the tackle out of Mississippi State. Fine.
Don't know if I've ever heard of him.
Yeah. 14, Jermaine Johnson. Like, that's someone I think if the Eagles could draft out their perfect first round within reason,
it'd be him falling to
he
50.
Would be the pick.
I love
15.
That guy. We did on WIP, they asked us to do our top three realistic pick for the Eagles. You know.
Yeah, I did it.
In charge of the website.
Yeah.
Yes. And obviously, N'Kobe Dean.
Of course.
I had my other two guys were Jordan Davis and Jermaine Johnson. Like, those are the two guys who I thought realistically
wow,
could
no
be
Jameson Williams.
No, those are my two guys. Defense, baby. I
well,
would take
three,
Jameson Williams.
You had to get
yeah, well, N'Kobe Dean.
Also defense.
I know.
Yeah,
picked
you said
three
two
defense.
Defense.
No, but now I said after. I picked three defense
oh,
guys.
Yes, okay,
I would
right.
be happy with two defense guys taken. With the
oh,
picks,
I see what you're saying. Like. Okay. You'd be okay going 15 and 18.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so Jermaine Johnson at 14. I think if he gets that far, the Eagles are moving up for him. Like
possible. It depends. I mean, look, they might be ecstatic that Jordan Davis is still on the board right here. We don't know.
All right, so here's who's on the board right now with the Eagles on the clock at 15.
N'Kobe Dean, taking him.
Well, I'm going to read, like, you know, just a bunch of different names. So,
yes.
Kenny Pickett, Jameson Williams, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, who I don't think they're going to draft him. He's someone that I think
people
maybe—
people like him
yeah,
to the Eagles, yeah.
Desmond Ridder, Trent McDuffie, Linderbaum, the offensive Center. Lineman out of Iowa— George Karloftis from Purdue is on the board. Devin Lloyd, someone on the pod
Olave?
Made fun of me that I said it wrong. Is it Olave?
I think it's Olave, yeah.
Right,
how did
I,
you say it?
I don't even remember.
I thought you said it right.
Treylon Burks is still on the board. And I'm almost, N'Kobe Dean is still on the board.
Yeah, he is. So we're doing this like if we're the Eagles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are the Eagles.
So not like.
But we're running the show. Not what
James
we think.
James Seltzer being
no, no,
super,
we're,
I could say N'Kobe Dean. I think Dean has more likely to fall 18.
Dean's going to be there at 18.
If it plays out this way for me, I'm taking Jordan Davis. I think he is the most elite
wow, really?
Upside
I'm
player on the
that.
Board right now. He's a defensive lineman. Give me my defensive lineman. I think Jordan Davis is a baller. I think that dude's an awesome player. I'd be very happy if I get him at 15.
So I like Jordan Davis as well. And I do like just taking someone off the Georgia defense. Like,
yes.
I think that sometimes you look at their numbers and you're like, oh, they weren't great, but they had so much talent. Like, it all had to be spread around. My only concern with him is like, is he a workout warrior? But that could just be my lack of knowledge about like where he was viewed initially.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like he really jumped up after the combine.
He was always a top 20 pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if the Eagles are on the board right now, I don't think they're going to take Jordan Davis. Although he is the Fletcher Cox replacement.
Mm-hmm.
You can like compare them athletically.
Yeah.
I would take Jameson Williams, but I also think he could be there at 18.
Yeah, I think he will be there at 18.
I think you're right that the smart pick here is Jordan Davis. Because I don't think he makes it to 18. Then I think so 15's gone. There's two more picks. You're guaranteed Jamison Williams.
Or N'Kobe Dean.
Or N'Kobe Dean. Well, not really. I guess both of them could go in between.
Right. But I mean,
George Karlaftis, I'm not worried.
Devin Lloyd. Good with that. Yeah, there's good players on them. That's what we were talking about before with like, no matter how these shake out, like there's going to be good players on the board for the Eagles, certainly at 15. Like, guys were excited about it.
All right, so we're agreeing on Jordan Davis.
I yes, absolutely.
Should we ask Jeffrey Lurie? Do you get it? Do you get
it? Hey, Jeff, we got a tie here. Can you break the tie?
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. He's an A-plus kid.
I
know is he's a good kid, so we're good with it.
Well, bad news bears. Jamison Williams went next.
No!
So, yeah, so.
No!
See, I wish I would have just taken Jamison Williams.
I know
Williams.
You do.
I overthought that. All right, Jordan Davis went 15 to the Eagles, 16 Jamison Williams.
I mean, it made my next pick pretty easy.
Good news, 17 Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle. They're not
going to
take him.
Oh, no!
All right, 18. Pickett's still on the board. Ritter's on the board.
I mean, if I'm running the show, I'm taking N'Kobe Dean, what would you do? I mean, it's very clear right
now. Honestly, I'm disappointed. I should have taken Jamison Williams. I'm still sitting there and thinking like, oh, I messed up. I tried to be too
this
smart.
This is where you go on tilt. This is why you're not general manager.
What would I do here? I don't know. I don't like any of these guys, really. I mean, like, I don't love any of them. I guess I'd take N'Kobe Dean.
Yes!
I'll take N'Kobe
Dean. All right, so how about this? Since that was my draft, I basically made those picks. Let's do one more, and it's yours.
Okay.
All right, I get Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean with 15 and 18. I'm running circles around the studios. Wherever
well, everyone's
I'm at,
loving you,
yelling
too.
At the top of my lungs how happy I am.
All right,
way
so
to go, Seltzer.
Now I'm going to do it again real quick.
Fire Howie, hire Seltzer. That's what everyone's
saying. So it's going Evan Neal, Hutchinson, Walker, the
whoa,
tackle.
Whoa, hold up. So that was an Evan Neal, Hutchinson 1-2.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Ahmad Gardner's still gone. Kyle Hamilton, top 10.
This mock draft simulator is drunk. I love it.
I know. All right, 15. Ooh, Drake London and Jamison Williams are on the board. I'm taking Williams. I think that would make me the happiest.
Okay.
Like, I believe in
Follow
him.
Follow your gut.
He's an offensive player.
I
think he's a star.
I think he's a star.
I agree with. Like, I think he has star
and he's
potential.
A perfect complement for Smith. Like, someone who can go deep, has the speed, that kind of stuff. Love it.
All right. So I took him at 15, and then it went Drake London and Jordan Davis, which sucks because I would have taken either of them. Literally, what anybody else went. I don't like George Karlaftis. I'll take N'Kobe Dean.
Yes!
I'll take N'Kobe Dean and just hope he's a stud. Trust in the Georgia defense. Yeah, I think that would be my move.
Okay. I'm happy with either of those. If I get Jamison Williams and Dean, I'm ecstatic. And again, they're not going to take Dean. I really hope.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that as much as you do.
I love that. Give me that positive.
I wouldn't rule it out, is all I'm saying. Like, I think there's like a... I mean, what's the highest percentage of any player they're going to take? Like, it's all relatively low. Like,
right. Yeah.
So I would say there's like a 5% chance.
Wow, I don't think that, but I like it. All right. Before we get out of here, you had a reality show.
Yes.
You're gonna tell
so me. The reality show on Netflix, this will be my final thought.
Uh-huh.
It's called The Ultimatum. Basically what they do is...
Oh, I love it already.
All right,
I love it already.
So they took 7 couples and one of the other gave them an ultimatum. So the girl said... Like,
marry me or else,
right?
Yeah.
So they put the 7 couples in like a hotel. Like they're all staying in the hotel.
Okay.
And for 3 weeks. So hold on, real quick.
Does the show start with the ultimatum? Like, how does it explain
the
ultimatum?
Yes, they're all there because of the ultimatum. Like, so either the boy or the girl in the couple said, we're going on the show because of the ultimatum.
Give me some examples of the ultimatums that you saw on the show. Like, what were some of the ones?
Well, like
I'm
one,
assuming Mary is one of them.
It's all Mary. Like, all the ultimatums
the ultimatum
are getting married.
Is you have to marry me.
Yes, the ultimatum is one person is ready to marry.
Was it always the woman in the, or were there guys who
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Okay.
But it wasn't like billed as always all the women. I think it might have been, but there might have been one or two guys.
Okay.
So basically the one person says, we're going on the show because I'm ready to marry you. Another person is not. So that's the show.
so ridiculous.
They put all these couples and they all technically break up. They all go out on like to the bar and they like flirt with each other.
Whoa. What do you mean they break up?
Get ready.
So wasn't the whole point like I want to marry you? And
yeah.
It's like,
so
the
whole
up.
Point is to like test if this is the person you know you want to be with.
Uh-huh.
So they all go out at night and like drink and like all flirt with each other like incestually.
Oh my god.
And like then you have to decide who you want to live with for the next 3 weeks besides your significant other.
What?
So like.
What?
Yes. And so they
what
all.
What kind of show is this?
Dude. And they all, like, I don't want any spoilers, but, like, they essentially, it's like, they just cheat on each other for 3 weeks. Like that's essentially the show. And then at the end of the 3 weeks, you decide if you want to get married. You live with your original partner for 3 weeks. And then at the end of that, you decide if you want to get married or not. How insane is this?
That is.
I was literally watching this with Kristen. I'm like, how would any couple survive this?
Of course, you just cheated on him for three weeks.
And then imagine like watching the show later, and there's all these clips where like the one saying that, like, you know, in the camera, like, man, I love my original person, but like I could really see myself happy with this person. They're like kissing and stuff.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Yo. All right, we got to go because you have to go on the radio now.
Yes, but it's a ridiculous show.
I don't even have a final thought because that was awesome. What a ridiculous, like, I don't watch these type of shows, as you know. I'm like mildly intrigued.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you can get through the first like 20 minutes, my jaw was on the floor.
I'm like,
none of these couples are going to make it. There's no way any of them are going to come back.
Wow. Yeah. I love it.
It's ridiculous.
I'm too busy watching Severance, which you bailed on.
I know. I should pick
it back up.
Go back
and watch. The finale of Severance, by the way, buddy, amazing. Like an amazing season finale. Phenomenal
it's hard
stuff.
To pick shows back up, but maybe I will.
I know. Well, how many did you get in?
Three, I think.
Oh, so you just stopped right away after we talked about it. You watched three and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I stopped once I'd watched all that were out, and then we didn't pick it back
right.
up once it came
so to
out.
Everyone out there, don't be an Elliot. Watch Severance.
Good
it is
general
the
advice.
Best show on television in a long
Seems
time.
Seems like people really like it.
And the finale was super well received.
Yeah, like it's a lot of Twitter buzz.
People were talking about it. Because it was phenomenal. It's really great.
The tweets were talking.
Check it out. We'll be back with the Parks Picks show either tomorrow or Thursday, and of course, at Parks on Saturday. He's Elliot James. Talk to you guys soon.